little play that goes along with it, music. The adults will be singing some songs, and the kids will be singing some songs, and the teenagers have an opportunity to be in both if they like to, the adult and the children's part of it. And so it's just going to be a good time all around. So I think one last thing is, last week we let you know that we are collecting for our college students. It did not make it into the bulletin, so hopefully I don't forget to mention it again. But today is the last day. Usually we give them some type of just reminder that we're praying about praying for them, thinking about them, for people that are faithful, full-time college students. And specifically, there's four that that we think of that is full-time college students, and then that are away, and a couple that do things here locally too, that in a little bit smaller of a part of our church. So if you'd like to be a part of that, please give today towards that, and as a gift card. So what they'll do is they'll take the amount, they'll divide it up, and they'll give out the gift cards to those that are full-time college students and also part of our church family. So you can write on the outside of your envelope, college students, and how much. And then also you can just give it to Miss Sharon if you want to. Okay, Ephesians chapter number 4. Going into our series here, that goes along with the our Sunday school class we've been talking about. And I think the lesson has been really good. I think many people have talked about how much they've enjoyed it and how they've been helpful, and a lot of truth that's in there. I always tell you I don't really particularly like having to be stuck to the lesson per se, but there is so much good stuff in there, and there's a lot of good positive things that I think can help us in our relationships, specifically our marriages, but just in relationships in general. And they keep on coming back to this passage of Scripture, and I've been enjoying it. And it's so good. We'll start in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 32. I believe this is the last week that they're focusing on this section of Scripture, so let's get as much out of it as we can. The title of this morning's Sunday school lesson is Traveling Light, and talks about forgiveness. Talked about how to deal graciously last week with problems and issues. This week, they're going to talk about what forgiveness really looks like. And forgiveness is really important inside of a marriage. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Look what it says in verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Then it continues on. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I was super tempted to use this in Sunday morning or Sunday night. That's how much I really think is a beneficial message or lesson. And the reason is because we all need to learn about forgiveness and how to deal with relationships and what the Bible says. Not really interested in what people have to say anymore about things. I'm looking about what the Bible has to say. And that's what our desire really needs to be. It's not, this is how my parents did it, this is how this did it, this is the way marriage has just got to be. What does the Bible say about certain things? Let's see what the Scripture says. When they get the idea of traveling light, they talk about people who pack too much, who carry too much with them when they go on somewhere. Some people are packers and they have little bits of things, and some people are packers and they carry too much of stuff. Now, I know most people would think most of the time it's the wife that overpacks, and sometimes it's the husband that underpacks. Me, I bring extra stuff. Having two boys, and when they travel with me, they always pick on me saying, hey, you got the biggest suitcase, but they're always thankful that I have something for them when they're not there, when they forget their, whether it's socks or shirt or something like that. But sometimes people carry things that just really aren't necessary. And in our Christian lives, sometimes we're carrying around things that God never intends us to carry. Things like bitterness. And we're going to look at that list again. But there are certain things that we carry around that really God never intended for us to carry. And when it comes to our relationships and our marriage, there are certain things where people are overpacking. It's the idea that they are carrying things that God never intended them to carry. And let's look at that. Your first blank is called overpacking. Overpacking, what is something that you're carrying that you don't really need to? Ephesians 4 has been a passage we've been studying for a little while, and it's how to lighten our load in our marriage. Really, how do we lighten it? How do we make things easier to travel with? I've been at an airport not too many times in my life, but a good amount of times. And I've watched people get to the spot and they weigh their luggage and it's over 50 pounds. They had to pull it off and they had to start taking things out because you can't the luggage has to be under 50 pounds. Sometimes they even have to go to the store and buy another piece of luggage just because they're carrying too many things. First thing I want you to think about is, what are some of the things we carry too much of? And the word offense is your next blank. Offense. So what does that mean? The reality is, no matter how strong or how good or whatever it is your marriage is, offenses are going to come. If you look in your notes, it says in Luke 17:1, "Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come." So in your notes there, it's saying that, you know, the offense is going to come. If you're married or even in relationships, when there are two different people thinking two different things in two different ways, sooner or later someone's going to be offended. No Christian is perfect and no marriage is perfect. There is no perfect spouse. And imperfect spouses sometimes offend. And every marriage, there is an opportunity to carry around bitterness. And hopefully that's not the case, but the reality is offenses will happen, and the scripture even says that. It says that it is impossible that offenses will come. So how do we deal with those offenses? I've also been in an airport and listened to people many times yell at the person across the counter. I remember one of the last times I traveled, when we went to the conference over in Milwaukee area. I went to a conference this past winter, and I remember standing there, and there was somebody over there, at least I think it was that conference, there was one, and I hear them, and they're just yelling at the person on the other side of the counter, just yelling at them. And I'm thinking, how in the world do they put up with that? And I read in the story that one guy, same thing happened to him. Someone was sitting there yelling. I'm at the baggage claim, and the lady behind him walked up to him and said, "How do you deal with somebody who does that?" He says, "Well, that guy is going to New York, and his luggage is going to Brazil." That's how he deals with it. But that's not how we're supposed to deal with things. How do we deal with it? It's whether or not we're going to allow ourselves to become hurt. Sometimes if we are offended, our spirits are wounded. Look what the scripture says. The spirit in your notes is Proverbs 18:14. "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" And a person who is wounded, and a person who is hurt, a person who continues to sulk in their wounds becomes a very heavy burden. That's not something God wants us to carry with us. There are certain things God says, you know, give unto me. And he says, "Ye that are heavy laden," those that are burdened down, God says, "I want you to give those burdens over to me." But many times we carry around this burden inside our home and inside our families and inside our relationships, and wounded spirits will burden those that are dealing with those, and also many times build up a big grudge and many times have that bitterness. But that wounded spirit will hurt those that are around you. How many times have we seen somebody that deals with bitterness and we see how it affects their children? Or how they affect their grandchildren. Sometimes people have a certain opinion of somebody else already because somebody inside that house had a wounded spirit and they've been talking in front of their kids about it. Be very careful what you say in front of your kids. You think, oh, they're old enough, they're mature enough. They're kids, they're children. They shouldn't have to carry that burden, number one. Number two, they're not old enough and mature enough, because I've seen parents be able to treat another person well, but their kids are disrespectful to them or have anger and build up and bitterness because they treat my parents like that. They can't carry those things. Their children are not really intended to carry those things. Even we ourselves are supposed to go those things over to the Lord. So be careful what you say. I don't care how mature. I know sometimes people think Christian or Andrew in their lives. Maybe not as much Andrew, but Christian is mature. Christians, he can handle, he's been around, but there's very, very careful we were what we would ever say about another person in front of Christian or Andrew, especially people that they interact with the church, especially people that are supposed to be leadership. If there's something I'm supposed to take care of and deal with somebody else, I don't need to carry that around to my children. And so I need to be careful what I say. So if offenses are going to happen, wounded spirits are going to happen, what do we do? It's our response that counts. When you think about it, it's your next blank is response. Offenses are going to come. Sometimes I take them personally. Sometimes I get wounded. And sometimes that wound causes a grudge, causes bitterness. But what is the response? Now, here's the tricky thing. because we tend to believe that the reason we have this weight of bitterness or unforgiveness is because what the other person has done to us, it's their fault. It's his fault. It's her fault. You're like this because of the way you treated me and the way you acted towards me. But the Bible tells us we're supposed to forgive. So if we're carrying around a bitterness, if we're carrying around hard feelings, if we're carrying around things and we struggle with certain offenses that have happened into our marriages and inside our families, the difference is if we would learn to travel lighter by being a good forgiver. And you say, good forgiver, where do you see that? It's found right there in verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving. And the reality is there are certain things we're not supposed to carry. And you get this list over here that's found in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. There's a bunch of things here that the Bible says you're not supposed to carry. If you fly, which I know not all of you do and maybe not very often, there are certain things you're not allowed to carry with you. There are certain things you can pack up. I was there at one of them, and I was watching someone. They had these big guns, and they can't carry them on the airplane, but they can lock them up, and they can put them inside the luggage. So there are certain things you're allowed to carry. But there are certain things that you're not allowed to carry. Blasting caps you can't take on an airplane, no matter whether you carry them on or you put them with your luggage. Dynamite. Spilled batteries, anything that's hazardous is not allowed. And even though sometimes they might not catch it, the point is there are certain things that God says, I don't want you to carry this in your life. This is extra baggage. These are things. And look at the list here. If you look in verse 31, it says, let all bitterness. That word bitterness comes from the Greek word. It says pikria, and it's talking about a poison, whether literally or figuratively. It's like an acid that's eating away at a solid. It's a good picture of what bitterness does to a heart. If you have something in there, you say, well, I can deal with it. I can handle it. God's saying, don't carry it. He even says at the end of this, he says, and be put away from you. And that idea of put away, it gives the idea of taking something off. It gives the idea of, they have it written down here. It gives the idea of lightening your load. And that's what the same thing with when you give the idea of not carrying something. You say, well, I can handle this bitterness. I can handle this anger. I can handle this. One person put it this way. Unforgiveness is the poison we drink hoping others will die. Unforgiveness is the poisonous, or bitterness is the poison we drink hoping that others will die. It will kill relationships. It will kill your marriage, and it will injure. So you need to be careful. And it's found here in the bitterness. You got it even inside your notes. It's talking about a poison. You look at the word wrath. It talks about thumos. It's talking about a passion. It's someone is breathing hard. They're furious. They're indignation. There's wrath. And you got the word anger. It's talking about a violent passion. Abhorrence. It whore things. It implies a punishment. Clamor is the idea of an outcry. Someone who is always bursting out. And you say, well, you don't always see that today. Well, you see it on social media. I take breaks very often from my social media. I have an account, but it's whatever you call it, deactivate it. I don't know why they call you deactivate. All you got to do is log in and it comes right up. But you can sit there and see people are angry and they're upset and how they react. Things they may never say in person, but they turn around and they say out loud by writing it online. And then what does that normally do? Does that ever fix anything? No. Does it ever fix anything in your home when you start yelling and screaming? It doesn't. What happens then? It causes the other person to react. And usually one nasty post is replied by another nasty post, which is replied. And it's the same thing inside our homes. Evil speaking. These are things that we should be careful with. It's from the word blasphema. It's a vilification. The idea you vilify, you begin to rail on, especially when you're talking about God himself, but it's the idea that you're there and you're just speaking evil about someone. So when you talk about your mate by like calling her the old lady, I mean, some people think that's funny, but that's not. That's calling their husband names or mocking them. I don't know. And people do that to be funny, but that's nowhere found in the Bible. And what we do is God says, I want you to take these things, and I want you to take them, and I want you to unpack them. I want you to put them somewhere else, and I want you to carry these things with you. You see, the word malice is there too. It's talking about depravity. It's evil. It's wickedness. It's when your bitterness becomes mean. What does it mean? It means when you purposely do things to upset your husband or wife. If you've been living with somebody for a long time, you know exactly what you need to say to push their buttons, or exactly what to say to get them riled up. It's sort of like when you cook, when maybe some of you ladies cook your husband's favorite dinner. No, it's a dinner that you know he hates. You know you're not going to yell at him. You know you're not going to, but you said, this is one way I'm going to get back to him. I'm going to fix something I know he doesn't like. Or when your husband maybe freezes the account of a credit card or a bank card. Things like that that we do vindictively to try to hurt and harm a person. We'll never hit that person. We would never be violent with that person, but we refuse to speak. We refuse to talk about things. We freeze them out. We don't talk with them. We treat them bad. We give them the silent treatment. And the Bible's saying these are things in our life that we should say, I don't want anymore. God does not intend for us to carry bitterness. God does not intend for us to have wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. That's why he's saying that you take those things and you put them away from you. Look what it says in Hebrews 12:15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I'm not upset. I'm not mad. And you can see by the way they're talking and shaking. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. And the reality is they have not dealt with this. And because they haven't dealt with this, they're giving place to the devil. That's what it talks about in verse number 27. Neither give place to the devil. You say, that seems kind of silly. Well, look what your notes say here, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgave I in the person of Christ. But look at next verse. And that's a great verse talking about forgiveness. But in verse number 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. God doesn't do anything by mistake. Those verses are written together. They're saying if a person can hold on to a grudge and be bitter about things, it's a device that Satan uses in order to destroy homes and destroy families and destroy marriages. And I know what some people say, well, it's different, Pastor, with me. You don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. It says don't give place to the devil. Don't give them something that you're not supposed to give up, to take away. To lift up is what that means when the idea to be put away from you. It means you actually take these things out, sort of like if you're packing something, and you lift them away. You say, I don't want any of this. I can't handle any of this. It's too heavy for me to carry. So I don't know, in your own life, we can talk about husband and wives because this builds up many times. We don't really truly get to the root of the matter. So because of that, our marriages are not many times what they should be. They could be good. And you could get along, and it's just the way we've always been, but it's not the way God designed it to be. It could be better. It could be something that God wants you to be, is if I care what the Bible says, not what the world says. Oh, look at that beautiful family, and they don't like each other. Look at that beautiful family, and the husband and wife don't even want to stand near each other. You know, they're beautiful families, but what is God's plan for our lives? What does God say? God says, get rid of these things in your life. Learn how to forgive, and if you can't do it at home, it's going to be super hard to do other things in other places. So your next blank is lightening your load. Your next big thing is, how do I lighten my load? I get it, Pastor. Me and my wife could be a little bit better. There are things I hold on to. There are things I'm not willing to forgive. It's that bitterness that's there. I say I can handle it, but it's slowly eating away at me and eating away at my heart. So how do I truly lighten my load? What does it biblically say that I need to do in order to lighten this load? And some people think forgiveness is taking something that someone did and stuffing it away, and just putting it somewhere and not dealing with it, you've done them a favor. That's not what real, true biblical forgiveness is. It's not stuffing an offense deep into our luggage. It's handing the offense over to God. If you look in your notes, what does it say in Genesis 59:19? And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Now, Joseph's brothers treat him horribly. They threw him in a pit. They couldn't speak peacefully to him. They sold him to slavery. They did all those things to him. And when they came and came full circle and he was there and they were asking him for bread, he reveals himself. They're upset. They're thinking that they're going to be punished. What does he do? He says, am I in the place of God? What forgiveness is, it does not mean I put it away. Instead, forgiveness is, God, I'm giving it to you. It's not saying I'm going to keep it here until later on when I can deal with something and bring it up to you to make you feel bad. It's saying, God, I'm handing this over to you, and God, this is you to take care of. You can deal with this person better than I have. I can't fix that person. I've realized that I'm upset about something. And that's what Joseph's saying. Am I in the place of God? He's saying, it's not me to take care of that. It's God to take care of that. And then you turn around, and he even goes a step farther. If you look down here in Romans 12:19 in your notes, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And it says, don't give place to wrath. Don't give place to the devil. And I know it's so easy to get angry, so easy to get upset. We even want to fight for one another and fight for each other. But the scriptures are saying here, be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving of one another. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, whenever I see myself before God and realize something of what my blessed Lord has done for me at Calvary, I am ready to forgive anybody anything. I cannot withhold it. I do not even want to withhold it. And what he's saying here is that forgiving is related to our ability to not forget. Many times we want to hold on to something. I just can't forget that. I just can't forget. It's too hard. In reality, it's not about something being so big, about saying that's just too big to forgive. It's the fact that we don't want to forget it. It is usually related to our forgetfulness of the forgiveness we have received. If we remember what Christ did for us and we see what Christ did for us, is like Lloyd-Jones was saying, when I think about what he did for me on Calvary, I'm willing to forgive anybody anything. I'm willing to forgive anybody anything. I cannot hold on to it. I don't want to hold on to it. I want to get rid of it because I saw what he did for me. I can do the same for him. And Jesus built up this idea of forgiveness. He talked about it in three steps in your notes there. It talks about here in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if you trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive. So there's three different things here, and we have to move kind of quickly because we always run out of time. The first one is rebuke. So that doesn't sound like forgiveness to me. A lot of people don't do this. What you did hurt me. I was offended by it. What you did, and the first response here, and that's what he says, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. This may seem self-evident, but many couples don't do this. Depending on a person's personality or past or health of their relationship, he or she may either hold on to the fence or talk to someone else about it. But both responses can be something that is harmful to relationships. If you go talk to your friend and they encourage you to do the exact same thing, yeah, what you did was right and what they did was wrong, is that going to help you forgive them? No, that's going to have bitterness. If you turn around and you find somebody to agree with you to get on your side and you go and sit there and talk to everybody else about it instead of talking to the individual about it, then guess what? That's not going to strengthen. That's going to strengthen your bitterness. It's going to strengthen where you think that you're right and the other person doesn't deserve forgiveness. And when you come to this passage, he says rebuke. It's a simple rule of the verse is don't talk about the person who you hurt. Talk about the person who hurt you, but instead talk to them. Talk to him, talk to her. Once again, inside of relationships is really important. And I've heard people talk about, well, my husband does this. Well, have you mentioned it to your husband? Have you come? My wife does this. Have you said it? Oh, no, that wouldn't help. It wouldn't do anything. What does Scripture say? And how can we help our relationships? Jesus instructs that if someone considers that he has been wrong, that is talking about if a brother have aught against thee, you must go to him for reconciliation. He also says if someone does something against you, that same thing needs to happen. Look what it says in Matthew 5:23-24 in your notes. Therefore, if thou bringest thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled unto thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. So it's the idea, make sure it's right. And then the notes underneath that. Moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. And so the first one's saying, if someone's offended by something you did. Now this one's saying, if someone has offended you by something they did, go and tell him. Where in the Bible does it say it's okay not to deal with it? It doesn't. Even one preacher put it this way. There is never a time when you can sit and wait for your brother to come to you. Jesus doesn't allow for that. The scriptures doesn't say that. He gives no opportunity for that. It's always your obligation to go. It's not easy, but it's what the Bible's saying here when you deal with it. We're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight, going to have communion tonight, and we're thankful for that. And that's one of these things that people don't like to bring up and think about this because it's so applicable in our homes. It's so applicable inside our families. So applicable inside a church family. If I have someone's offended me or if I've offended someone, I need to deal with it. I need to get right because that is what's going to cause healing. That is what's going to cause people to in order to deal with issues. Next one is not only rebuke, your next blank is repentance. Repentance. So what do you mean by repentance? It means that you're truly sorrowful for what you did. Some people have different opinions about when it comes to this. Well, what if I don't think I did anything wrong? You discuss it. That's what brothers do. That's what husbands and wives do. That's what brothers and sisters do. But repentance means that you're just not passing over it, saying I'm sorry, just so that way you can't be held accountable for it. Sort of like with Jesus. You go to God, and it even says, you know, 1 John 1:9, it's talking about relational between you and your Heavenly Father. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's not going to play games with you, and you say, well, I'm sorry for doing this, but you plan on doing it again tomorrow, or you plan on doing it again next week, or you plan on doing it again next month. When it's talking about confessing, it means, God, I agree with you. What I did was wrong. I don't ever want to do it again. That's when we find mercy. You know, him that confesseth and forsaketh, that's the person that's going to find mercy. The person who covers up their sins, they're not going to find the mercy. And when it comes to our relationships with one another, we should be always ready to forgive, like it talks about the Lord in Psalms 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. God is the one that's ready to forgive us. And in our relationships, we should be willing and interested in forgiving too. Some people get the idea, I said I was sorry, isn't that enough? There's no true repentance because they continue on doing it. Now, can we slip? Can we fall? Of course we can. And that's why he's saying that we need to be careful with it. They even give you some different A's of confession there. I did not write these, but there's the idea of showing true repentance is you're going to change your behavior. You're going to address the people that are involved in it. You're going to avoid if or maybe. I'm going to say, if I offended you. You know if you hurt somebody, I'm sorry for offending you. Admit specifically what you did, not saying you have to own up for something you did not do. Acknowledge the fact that this could hurt. Ask for forgiveness. If there's consequences, accept those. But a person who truly isn't sorry isn't a person who's going to sit there and say, I'll forgive you. I'll take this consequence if or that. Instead, it's the idea, I'm truly sorrowful for what I did. Let me do what I can to make this right. Your next blank is forgiveness. Forgiveness. So if you look in Luke chapter 3, it talks about rebuke. It talks about repent. Then it talks about forgiveness. And repentance is something that lots of people don't like to talk about. It's a lot that don't like to think about because you're just sorry they got caught. They're not really sorrowful that they did it. But forgiveness is something we all like to have people do for us. I remember reading this story about Corrie ten Boom. And the story of Corrie ten Boom, it talks about as she was going around and doing a tour speaking about forgiveness. And Corrie ten Boom was the one that was put into the Nazi camps because of the fact that she was hiding Jews. And she lost her dad. She already lost her sister. And she was speaking. And she was speaking at one place. And as she was there and she was speaking about forgiveness and how God has forgiven us for this and that. And that day, it says that a man came up to her to greet her. It says that as he approached, and he used to be a guard at the spot where they worked at, the Ravensbrook camp, it says that he reached out his hand to her, and it says, a fine message, how good it is to know that our sins are at the bottom of the sea. The story says that she stood frozen. She explains, he says, "You mentioned Ravensbrook," he continued. "I was a guard there. But since that time, I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fairline, will you forgive me?" It says Corey later described the moment, "I stood there with coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion." He says, "I knew that forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart." She told how she reached out her hand to shake his, and then the love of God filled her heart. Forgiveness is not something that is based off our emotions. It's based off what the Word of God says. It's I can't do this. I can't. My heart's so cold. And that's what she was saying. It's not the idea that I'm going to forgive because of the fact he deserves it. I'm going to forgive because of what Jesus did for me, what he asked me to do. So the thought here is, and I know there are sometimes people that need counseling. I know sometimes there are certain hurts and certain abuses that people have to get through and work through. And I understand all those things. But the forgiveness that God expects and wants is something that he's saying, don't base off our emotions. Base it off of the Bible. Base off what the Bible says. Look what your note says. "For this cause shall a man," I think it's on your next page, "for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall join unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." It's talking about how we become one flesh and we learn to work together. And if someone has hurt us or someone's doing something that is offending you, because offenses are going to come, it's normal, it's natural, we're different people. You're going to hurt me sometimes, and I need to let you know because you might not ever know, and I'm going to hurt you sometimes, and I need you to tell me. But that's where the forgiveness comes in. So I can never forgive. The Bible talks about the forgiveness that God gives us, even though we don't deserve it. The third thing is packing well. You go back to this idea of you know, how to pack and pack good and different things like that. Packing well. So how do we do this? How do we carry something that is light? How is it that we make things work? And it's kind of interesting. If you wanted to go online, you could watch some people that can teach you how to pack a week's worth of clothing into a carry-on luggage pack. I can't do that. But there are people that can pack really well. And being a good packer takes skill that is required through practice. It's not just about getting everything in the suitcase. It's having knowledge of what to leave out. It's the idea, do I truly need this? And that's where I have to look at it when I'm packing. Okay, I'm only going to be there for 3 days. I don't need this. I need this. It's knowing what to leave behind. And that's where they have a couple things here to help you know what to leave behind. Leave the scoreboard. Leave the scoreboard. What does that mean? I guess the idea, don't be keeping score. What do you mean? I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say, you hurt me here so I can get back at you. You did this to me, so now I can retaliate this way. You did this to me, now you're going to take me out to eat. You did this to my kids, now you're going to take us to do something. And that's keeping score. That's not where Christ depends on. Sort of like what Peter said in Matthew chapter 18. He says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times." And I can imagine, we've talked about that before. He says, seven times? Look at me. What is he going to do? Is he going to keep track of it? He's going to say, on this day, he did this to me once and he did this to me twice. But what does Jesus say? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until 7 times, but until 70 times seven. What's the point there? It's you can't keep track of it. So, Pastor, it's hard. It's not about how we feel. It's about what the Bible is asking us to do. Look what it says in 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 24 in your notes. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that that ye should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. He suffered. He was reviled, but he didn't revile back. He suffered and he didn't injure or harm anyone. Peter wanted to keep track of score, and Jesus says, you can't do that. put the scoreboard aside. Stop saying, well, they did this to me to hurt me. They did this to me to hurt me. And the question is, do I need to continue letting somebody hurt me? And that's an interesting question, but does that mean you should stop forgiving? It doesn't. Maybe you don't put yourself in that spot to continue to be hurt, but it doesn't mean you stop forgiving. And next thing is not only leave the scoreboard, important things to leave behind, but there are certain things that you need. Give grace. Give grace. If you want to be a good forgiver, you must learn to be a grace giver. Give grace and do it persistently. And that's what he's saying here in verse 32. It says, be kind. That's demonstrating grace. And you have the word there. It says employed. It's useful. It's goodness. It's somebody being gracious. Tenderhearted. You have that in your notes too. Someone who's compassionate. Someone who's sympathetic. Someone who's pitiful toward another. Forgiving one another, which means to grant as a favor, to pardon somebody for what they did, to rescue them from what they have done. It says forgiving one another. And that next, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. And that is just the key part. I'm not doing it because you deserve it. I'm not doing it just to build the marriage. I'm not doing it because of the kids' sake. I'm doing it because God has asked me to do it. And because of what Jesus Christ did for me, I'm willing to do it for him. So how does that work and how does that look in our marriage? Well, we learn how to forgive. We go through and see what the Bible says about it. Not what our thoughts are, not how we feel, but scripturally, what does the Bible say? Now, some people will listen to this and say, you're going to protect an abuser, or you're just going to side to one side or another. And I don't think that's true, because it's the scripture. When we sit there and look and understand what the scripture says, we listen to it. We obey it. And if there's somebody that you would have a problem with, if it's inside your home or even inside your church family, you should get it right. Is there people like this in my life? There's been times in my life when I didn't want to deal with certain things. I think if you can forget about it and never bring it up again, if it's something small, because I know sometimes at home, I think my wife probably thinks I'm a little nitpicky about things. I like to talk about things. She doesn't. And I was like, well, why'd you say that? Or why'd you say it that way? Or things like that. And she's like, what's the big deal? And we discuss it. And there are certain things that I should just let it go, because it really wasn't offensive to me. I'm just trying to teach her or pull her and say, hey, don't do this, don't do that. And I'm doing that for my sake. But if there is an offense that happens that I know I must get right and I know I must deal with, to ignore it, I don't see where it says it in the Bible. Now, if you can forgive and forget and never bring it up again, then great. But oftentimes that's not the case. Oftentimes we like to push it aside, and it just keeps on getting worse and worse and worse, to the point that bitterness is eating us alive. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I pray that the things that were said this morning from the scriptures will be taken to heart, and that people will look at that and consider, what does God say when it comes to